20. Got to entitle it tonight. We're really preaching Acts 20, but for the love of the church. For the love of the church. And by the way, the church is not a building, it's a people. But in Acts chapter 20, in verse number 28, notice what the Word of God says here. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Thank you, Lord. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how they so laboring, ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Heavenly Father, tonight, would you please use the word of God for our admonition and for our learning, and help us to receive whatever your admonition is, and basically whatever you'd like us to learn tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And I thank you for standing. Look at just a simple thought as we work our way through the passage tonight. Because Paul here is getting ready to depart, and of course God used him. You'll see in verse 17, he's speaking to the church at Ephesus. Actually, the elders, it said in verse 17, the same chapter, and from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. So the first thing he talks about, if you read through these last verses, is number one, the elders' exhortation. The elders' exhortation, the challenge, what he's going to tell the elders. And he tells them in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. He's reminding the elders to take heed, to pay attention to themselves, and always be observing yourselves. You know, I have a statement, quote by Henry Ward Beecher, I think is his name, and it always says, be a hard taskmaster to yourself, never excuse yourself, and be lenient to everyone else. You know, it's something I try to live by, and some of you think that I may be hard to things that I say, but in my own examination, and when I'm really looking at my own life, I'm harder on myself than on anybody else. And if you knew the things that I said about me, you'd probably be amazed. And the shortcomings that I recognize I have, and the inconsistencies that I recognize I have before Christ, and because it's my goal, I'm always looking to examine myself, and that's why even I call for your examination on different occasions, because I'm looking to purge and to make. Because I always ask for the examination. I'm not asking for the encouragement, because I want the purging, because I can pump my own self up and make myself feel good about myself, and that's a danger. So I really prefer the negative things, the things that help me to be like Jesus Christ. But he says, take heed. I mean, pay attention. When you take heed to something, you're examining it. You're trying to, look, it means caution or care. It also means to watch for danger. It means to notice. It means to regard with care. So he's speaking to the elders of the church. And by the way, they became elders because they were their faithfulness. There were deacons and another type of people, and the pastors, and they were in the church, and the elders were basically, or would be a servant or a deacon, would have the same qualifications as the pastor would. And these were people that were filled with the Holy Ghost, and God, through the Apostle Paul here, is reminding them, challenging them to take heed, watch for danger, to regard with care yourself, because you've got a great responsibility. And it says, and not only do you take heed, but you take heed to the flock. You know, one of the, one, and this is the, one of the most probably one of the difficult things about being an elder or being a pastor is having to notice with care and to watch for danger in the lives of the people that God's entrusted you to. And that's what many people, I think, many people don't really want to be a part of organized religion because they really just want to go their own way and they don't want anyone to examine their lives and to say something to what they're doing. You know, they like to go their own direction. And I'm not saying everyone, but I think that's why there's a lot of people not here tonight, and not just here, but in churches all over the world, because they don't want anyone to take the time to examine their lives, because it's amazing how people want to make their own mistakes. How they really just want to fall on their own. They'd rather, you know, walk and hurt themselves than to receive exhortation from someone. But the responsibility of the elder, notice, is to watch for danger. So every time somebody comes, every time I meet somebody, every time somebody brings them under the sound of the preaching that God has called me to preach, I'm watching for danger in their lives. And I'm trying to regard with care. I'm observing, not to condemn, not to say you're bad, not to say you're this, you're that, but actually looking to try to, because since it says watch for danger, that means if this is true, then there are potential dangers for your life. And there are potential hazards that you could be walking in. And part of the elder's responsibility is to carefully watch for danger and to take heed to notice and actually be looking for signs that you might really be in trouble. And by the way, that's a God-appointed responsibility. I know it to be true. That's why it can only be done with the help of God. And it's in which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And if you remember when we studied Acts chapter 13, it was the Holy Ghost that spoke to the church. It says, separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the work where I called them to. And just as my church, by Holy Spirit leadership, separated me to come here and do the labor here. And the next church that we are able to start through here, Lord willing, someone will be the church. The Holy Ghost will speak to the church and it'll separate someone to be an overseer or an elder. That means an overseer is someone that watches over. And see, the difference in the pastor, when I watch over your lives, I'm not watching over your life to be a busybody. I'm not watching over your life just so I can have information and see what's going on in your life, you know. I'm watching over your life because I want you and I want your life to fulfill the great commandment. And that's all of our goal. That you should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, all thy strength, and all thy mind. Now, if you remember what the Bible says in Corinthians, Paul said, he said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. And he gets jealous there again he oversaw his flock. He was speaking to the church of Corinth at this time, and he oversaw because Paul said, "Wait, I espouse you to one person." That means he joined them to Christ through the preaching that he did. He joined them into relationship with God, and I know that everybody in this room wasn't necessarily saved under this ministry. But I trust you here by Holy Spirit leadership, and you follow here, though I'm not the one that joined you into that. If you're here by Holy Spirit leadership, then I'm the one that God has appointed to oversee to help you stay connected. And sometimes I get jealous when I see the affection is not toward the one that God, whoever the preacher was, the winner, the soul winner that appointed to Christ, when he helped join you into Christ, is jealous when that relationship with him is not pure. And Paul, he's an overseer here, and he says, you take heed to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. So the elder's exhortation, he's got to take heed to himself, he's got to take heed to the flock, he's got to take heed to feed. That's why we try to give a lot of different things. I've tried so much to talk about the person of God, and talk about the power of the relationship with God, and the attributes of God, and looking in great detail of things of how to have victory in God. When we talked in great studies about how to keep your life for simple in Christ, and all different things, we tried different types of ways to feed the flock of God. But guess what? The feeding has been done in such a way that you might be able to put it into practice. And we talked about soul winning, reaching out, and even things like this weekend. Those are things that I've appointed so you can exercise what you exercise off what you've been fed. And we're always looking because in any diet, you know how I get the food of it, there has to be some exercise sometime. So that's the elder's exhortation. He says, take heed to yourself and to the flock Over, so the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. And he gives a great reminder here in the last part of this. He says, and to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. See, that's a great reminder to me or any overseer that if you're saved in this room tonight, your life was not casually brought. Because if you're saved, you were dead before you were saved. You were dead in trespasses and sin. And your life was bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that I'm not supposed to have some type of like casual approach to taking heed to myself or to you and to feed. Just think about it. I mean, you understand? Your life was bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, we all appreciate sacrifices from people, earthly people sometimes. We appreciate gifts. We appreciate things they do for us, sacrifice. But, I mean, your very existence as a child of God was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he reminds the elders and women, so basically, you didn't basically, this is not about you. It's about the people. And I think it's a reminder also, these people that you're caring for, they're under your care because of the death of someone. And because of the bloodshed of someone. So it's a reminder to me not to be lazy. It's a reminder to me to continue on, to be strong in the grace. And it's a reminder to me to endure hardness. Because you're not just some casual, believe it or not, you're just not some casual person that showed up in this room. You know. And even if you're not saved already, your salvation has already been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's just a question of when you're going to receive it. Or if you're going to receive it, it's still your choice. God's not going to make you accept the salvation. And so so to elders, or those who would be elders, if God called you to preach or something like that, you need to understand that the people we deal with, they're of great value. And that's why. And see, Paul understood this. As you look at the end of when we look at the end of the chapter, because he tells you that the things that he didn't covet after, because he valued the people that had the greatest pride. See, Paul, and there's a good song we used to have around the house, the Victorious Valley Girls Home used to sing. It's a song about things that last forever. It's the things that never die. It's I shall give myself away for things that will never die. I love that song. And it's a lot better when I live it too. But number two, the apostles' preparation. The apostles' preparation. Now, he begins with the elders, begins with leadership, gives them a strong exhortation to remember who you're working for and who the people that you're working with. The apostles' preparation. Now, Paul's trying to prepare them for his leaving, for his departing. And he's going to say something because he's an overseer. He's concerned. And he's exhorting his elders because there's a very real, legitimate danger that's going to take place when he departs. Notice what he said in verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in. Now grievous, it means heavy. It means oppressive and burdensome. Also, when I depart, there's going to be people that's going to come in, and they're going to be heavy, they're going to be oppressive, they're going to be burdensome to you, and they're going to enter in not sparing the flock. And, of course, that means they're coming to destroy. When you spare something, that means you don't destroy it. And so Paul is saying, there's going to be grievous wolves. You've got to be ready because, he said, there are going to be people that come in that aren't interested in your spiritual well-being. And in fact, they could care less if you died spiritually. In fact, that's their objective because they're coming. That liberty that you have in Christ, that joy that you have when you got saved, that love that you had for Jesus Christ, that new song that he put in your mouth, even praising the God, there are people that come in that want that song to be gone. They want it. That grievous weight to your life. He said, you better be ready because this joy that you're experiencing right now, This love that you have for the Lord Jesus Christ. This love that you have for the brethren. Hey, this love that you had where you sold your houses and your lands for each other and cared not and said, hey, we don't own anything. We just belong to Jesus Christ. We just love Jesus Christ and we love each other. He said, that love that you had, you better be ready because there are going to be some that are going to step in. And they're not going to spare me. These people around you that you gave your lives for each other, they're going to be people that come in and step in that's going to care nothing for the lives of the people that you gave your life for. He said, be careful. But he said, grievous wolves to enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And he said, notice, and not only are they going to come from without, but then he says, the sad news, and he experienced it firsthand through Judas, also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things. Now, perverse simply means turned aside. He said, from within, there are going to be people rise up that are going to speak things that are the opposite direction of the life of a Christian. And they're going to draw people away from the great commandment, love the Lord with all their heart, all their soul, all their strength of their mind, and cause them to follow them, their words, instead of following Christ. See, Paul was always cautious about that. You know, when I first started preaching, you know, I liked it when people thought they could get the help from me. But now I don't. That's so dangerous. I like when they know they're getting help from God. And even though my intent is not to draw people unto me, if I'm not careful, if I want the Father, if I want the respect, if I want the praise, eventually I'm going to draw them unto me instead of unto God. That's why my mind let you know that I'm a failure. Because that way you won't trust in me. I mean, I like to feel like I'm not a failure, but that's how God can work through me, hopefully, if I really believe that in my heart. And I know that because without Him, I can do nothing anyway. So there's nothing to me to glory about. And so that the best I can possibly do is to point you to the Bible and say, hear from Him. And Paul was saying here, he said, you better be careful. He said, he's preparing them because as sweet as it is right now, I mean, because think of it, man. This is a church that loved the Word of God, loved preaching. I mean, and previous in the chapter, I mean, they loved preaching so much, they were staying up to midnight just hearing preaching. Hearing the Word of God, the sacrifice, the labor, they were laying their lives, they were sacrificed one for another. And he said, as good as it is right now, as sweet it is right now, be careful because grievous wolves going to come in, and there are also going to be some from within. They were right there with everything. They were saying everything was good about Paul and everything, the Word of God was good. All of a sudden, they're going to speak some perverse things. Try to turn people away from Christ unto themselves. That's why I say often around here, if you're a Christian, I remind you that people need the Christ in you. They don't need you. Because if you give them you, you've headed them through a life of destruction. Because you show them a person is the answer, and guess what? Well, you're not there, then they'll turn to another person, and then another person, and then another person, instead of depending on God alone. He tells them, so that's the apostle preparation. Now, in verse 31, now I want you to see the magnitude of how serious this is that he's telling them right here. This is the apostle Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, following the word of God. Notice how important this preparation is. Notice in verse 31. He said, what I told you is so serious. Therefore, watch and remember. I want you to remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Now, the attack from without and within was so dangerous and of such great concern that as he was with him for 3 solid years, and he said, night and day, this is what he warned him about. They think about that for a second. I mean, that meant this was a pretty legitimate threat, I would say. I mean, if night and day, I mean, he's with a group, and he said he's with the church of Ephesus, and he said, for 3 years, I warned you that there are wolves that are coming down, and beware of people from within speaking perverse and turned aside. for 3 years, night and day. Anyway, if you think about it, let's bring it home today. Think around. Most people that walk away from God, it's never, they're in Christian church, it's hardly ever just someone that goes to a different false God. It always begins with an individual. Someone they esteem, someone they value. And then all of a sudden, because of something they want for themselves, all of a sudden they're away. It begins, and I know from just before I moved here, so many people I saw that were solid and sold out about God. Somebody in the church, I saw in my own home church, someone just say some little negative thing here and there. Man, you believe he would have said that, you know? What do you think about what Pastor said in that light like that? And all of a sudden, and your math, they turned away from the pastor, but then they turned away from, the Word of God, you know? Because like I said, I don't want you to. I'm hoping I use enough Bible to where the question will only be with the Bible, not with anything I say. Because I want to make that. That's where the truth needs to be. But for 3 years, this man filled the Holy Spirit. Now think about this. He didn't warn him about. He didn't say he warned about Satan. He didn't warn about the threat of the devil. You know, all these ministries today talking about all these trying to fight Satan and all these type of things, and that's not the danger. Satan is a defeated foe. He said, be careful, he said. You know why? Because as we love one another, you gotta be careful, and we love people, which you should love people. We can never put people above God. And that's when all of us. Because whenever we depart from God, it's all because of one person, or a person, either someone, another person, or ourselves, you know. And so we have to be careful that, because, now I remind you, here's a man being led by God. So if he's led by God, God is love. And so the greatest message Paul could give for those that he loved, he said, be careful, be careful, be careful. And it's funny. I remember teaching through this at the home church, and I don't remember really seeing that, but I just was thinking about that as I meditated on this afternoon. That for 3 years, that was his warning. Grievous wolves are going to come and not spare you. I mean, they don't care if you die spiritually or not. That's not their concern when they're with you. And there can be some within. They're going to speak things that are perverse, that are not consistent with the life of a committed Christian. That's all it takes to be perverse. And so those ones from within. And when I read this, I examine my own life. Because I'm from within. And I'm taking heed to myself. And I say, Lord, would you please reveal to me if there are times I say anything that's trying to turn aside that would have people to be a follower of me instead of just a complete follower of Jesus Christ? Last thing we see is a powerful, the powerful commendation. The powerful commendation. You know the verse? I said often, quote it. This is powerful what he's really doing here. He says, and now, brother, I commend you to God. Well, let's think about it just for a moment. Don't have enough time to really ever do justice when you talk about God. The person of condemnation. Not condemnation. Commendation, because he's commended them. The word commend means to commit or to entrust, to give charge. It also means to send, to bear to. And so he's saying, and now, brethren, I commit you to God. I send you to God. He said, my final designation, my final thing I do with you, I'm putting you to God. He said, go to God. This is as the Bible says in Hebrew, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you have any doubts, if you have any questions, I'm putting you into the hands of God. And find out from Him the direction. Find out from Him the will for your life. And find out, look at the life of God, your Savior, the life that He lived, and pattern your life after Him. He said, I commend you to God. The Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. Again, the God that is love, the God that is wisdom, the God that the Bible says power belongeth unto Him. The God that made the heaven and the earth. The God, as we said, oh, shed His own blood for those that sinned against Him, which would be all of us. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank God. He said, that's the person I'm commending you to. The one that loved you more than He loved His own glory. The one that loved you more than He loved His own reputation. The one that loved you more than He loved His own prominent position on the right hand of the Father. The one that loved you more than He loved having a place to lay His head. The one that loved you more than He loved to have any earthly possession that this world had to offer. He said, that's the one I'm committing you to. And He said, I'm placing you in the hands of someone that's more to you than I could ever be to you. You know what I'm committing you to God? And when I pray that, I'm praying that when I'm quoting it at the end. Because my hope and my prayers and the messages that I preach are by direction of the Holy Spirit of God. But in case I fail, Lord, I say, here you are. I commend you to God. Please, if you're thinking about God tonight, I direct you to God. I entrust you to God. So if I say something you don't like, and say something you don't really agree with, I still commend you to God. I direct you to God. Let God be true and every man a liar. But if it be right, if it be consistent, and even if you biblically agree, I still commend you to God to have it confirmed with Him by the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way you'll continue in it. Because if you just think, man, that sounds good, and Pastor Harper said it, I respect Pastor Harper, you will not continue in the faith. But if you accept the commendation of God, and you leave this service tonight and every service going to God, you'll have what the song said. You'll prove the power and the presence of God. And I tell you, when you prove the presence of God in your life, wow, it's amazing how many spiritual things get easier. I'm amazed at myself. I'm amazed at how quick I can get off track. Number two, I'm so amazed that when I finally get my head right and my heart right, then the presence of God overwhelms and overshadows any darkness, any grief, any problems, anything about me. And so I thank God for that. He wants me, amen. And Paul, he said, when he's commending these people to God, he's doing the best thing he could ever do for them. He said, here, I point you to God. I direct you to God. I give charge you to God. I send you to Him. Personal commendation. Then he said, the word of commendation. He said, now, as if God wasn't good enough, I'm pointing you to the word too. The Bible says every word of God is pure. The word of God is quick. It's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. Why do you think the world without God does not want to hear the Bible? Because it's powerful. Because it divides asunder. It pricks the heart. It pricks the soul and the spirit. You know, it's amazing. You know, I can get inspired. I've had different quotes like the one I mentioned that inspired me, encouraged me, and maybe challenged me some type of way in my life, you know. I was looking at the Ranger Creed of all things, because Samuel gave me this Ranger Battalion patch that he had. It was for one of my birthdays or something, because it was something, it was precious to him, and he gave me that which was precious. And I was just looking at the creed and how it said that as a ranger that I'm expected to fight harder and to go farther than any other soldier. And I was looking differently, and those things were encouraging, you know, and they challenged me sometimes. But I tell you, it's not like the Word of God that just kind of strips me apart and shows me where I really am at. Because once that Word of God begins to strip and really show me my true intention and show me the real me, see, I can get a lot more physical confidence reading the Ranger Creed. And something in me can say, I can do it. But then when I read that Word of God, it's like, then the Abba Father comes forward. And then the cry for the help of God. And then the recognition that as much as my flesh hates me to admit it, Ryan Harper really is nothing. But Christ is everything. But you know what's amazing when I give over to that and the Word of God shows me my self-confidence, sometimes my self-reliance, even my own pride and my own arrogance. And then all of a sudden, I communion with God and the Word of His grace. It's amazing what God does after He strips you down. Gives you what He built you up. And so He commends you to the Word that is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing the asunder of the soul and the spirit. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. See, if you're following a grievous wolf or someone from within that is not committed to Christ and has perverse things, you know what? The Word of God kind of shows you the thoughts and the intents of your heart. It shows me the same thing. And because when I don't want to follow, when I'm getting kind of turned aside of my thinking, the Word of God kind of comes on the shelf a little bit, because there again, like we were talking about, self-examination or personal examination always is not really encouraging if you want to go a certain way. But thank God for the Bible, it really shows us the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Because if we really want to live the life that God saved us to live, then that's a good thing. But see, when we get a little bit turned aside, maybe follow a wolf or whatever, that's not really the pure objective. That's why it's so hard to really get into the Word of God. Because we really don't want to know the thoughts. We really don't want to have our thoughts examined. And we don't really want to have our hearts examined sometimes. And Satan is trying to keep that from happening because he's not sparing the flock. He knows that he can destroy us if we don't have an honest picture of our thoughts and of our hearts. Because think of that, that was the thing to get us so distracted from God the most. And you know, when you think about this, and that's why, and he we allow him. That's why in this world we protect those things, you know. We protect our hearts, so to speak. And we protect our thoughts even. We want to have our own opinion. Man, Curtis, we really shouldn't have an opinion about anything. We just should believe what the Bible says. And we should trust God above that. Now, because the Bible, now we've said the verse often, the thoughts of man or vanity. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. So if that's true, the thoughts of men are vanity. Now, right now, the Word of God is going to discern the thoughts and the intents of your heart based on that verse. If there's something about you that doesn't really like that, if you want to have an opinion about something, if you want to have a say about something, the Word of God has just shown you that your heart is not surrendered to God because you want your thoughts to count more than what the Bible says. See, and this is something that has to discern, you know, the thoughts and the intents of your heart. And that's simple one verse, and the thoughts of men altogether vanity. It says that they're lighter than air. They're kind of discerned, you know. Are you living, you know, when we can think down of another Christian, another follower of Jesus Christ, and then God says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and all thy mind. And I said, well, is your life in agreement with that? And we said, well, maybe not, but God discerns the thoughts and intents of our heart. That means that, you know what that means? Let me tell you what that means. It means that our personal estimation of our own Christianity is more valuable than what God says. That's how it discerns. It just, Because see, if I really pursue the Great Commandment, I tell you, if I'm pursuing that, I can't think bad of any Christian or any person I've ever met. Because the powerful little word in that whole passage is a 3-letter word, all. All your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. Now the word all, and since you say love, that means to be long suffering. Let's look at charity. Let's look at that for a second. Hold on a second here. 1 Corinthians 13. And see what that means to love. And let God discern our hearts. And see, this is the word of power that God is commending us to, as He commits the church to. He says, charity, in verse 4, it's charity suffered long. Okay, so you're going to love God long time, long suffering, with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. You'll be kind to God with your heart, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your strength. Now, if you're kind to God, and if you want to love Him with that, would you be giving your heart to God grievingly or grudgingly? No, you would be kindly giving it to Him. Charity in me is not. Well, I wish God really didn't have to have all my heart. I wish God really didn't have to have all my soul. I wish I really didn't have to give all my strength to God. I really wish I didn't have to give all my mind to God. That's envy. Charity envious. And see the kind of word, just the thoughts and the tense. Now we would again say, I want to be a Christian. But you know, I really wonder, in today's religion, people want to be saved, but many don't really want to be Christian. And that's again why repentance is so critical. It must be preached. Because if you really did turn to Christ, that means you left your way. And the Word of God discerns. See, the Word of God discerns the thoughts and the end of our hearts. And so, it's not behaving itself seemingly. Charity vaunteth not itself. I'm going to live the Great Commandment, but I hope it works out good for me. Not looking for me. Not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Think of no evil. Why does God expect so much of me? That's evil. God's trying to bless you. God is love. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now that's the word He's committing you to. Hey, the same word also says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's the word. That's the word of God He commended you to. That's the word. That's a powerful commendation. All your care. Not just the ones that He feels like dealing with. But think about this. Everybody in this room, I think everybody in this room is pretty helpful people. But you don't want everybody to cast all the cares upon you. Because there's certain things you're willing to deal with, and there's certain things you're not willing to deal with. Because we're so not like God. And so we don't want everybody to cast all their care. We'll deal with this, we'll deal with that. But no, hold up. Notice I said we. We're all in that same category. But our Father, God, said in His Word that you should cast all your care. And through the Word, He said, cast all your care for Him, knowing He cares for you. And He said in another passage, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Thank God for that. That's a word of power, make all grace. The same word says that He's given you all things that pertain unto life and the godliness through the knowledge of Him. That's the same word, all things. The Word got discerned. He said, Father, He said, I'm commending you to God. He said, I'm directing you to God. Remember, come in? He said, and I'm entrusting you also to the Word. I'm sending you to the Word. I'm committing you to the Word. I'm putting you in the hands of the Word of God. And then He gives us the good news. and we mentioned that, which is able to build you up. Why do you come into God? Because God, really, believe that God wants us to be built up in the faith. Look, see, the grievous wolves don't care. The grievous wolves, yeah. You know why drugs are so popular? Because it is drugs do the epitome of the desire of society whole scale. You make a temporary sacrifice for a burst of pleasure, and then so. And that's why people won't really commit to Christ. They make a temporary sacrifice for this life, which is just a burst of pleasure, and then sober. And so drugs are so appealing because people want something that just gives them that pleasure, that rush, that feeling, and they believe that temporary satisfaction is worth whatever sacrifice they have to make for that moment. And this life is just a moment. James said this life is a vapor. And what people do, they make whatever sacrifice is necessary to have that temporal burst of pleasure, not thinking about what the consequence is after the rush is over. People after the rush woke up pregnant, referring to drugs. People after the rush have woken up with diseases. Some never woke up because they died after the rush. Some woke up parenting children after the rush. Some woke up after the rush married. They don't know how it happened. I've heard stories of people getting drunk or high and going to just like Las Vegas or something, getting married or something like that. I mean, that, I think Britney Spears did something like that, or someone like got married someplace like that all of a sudden. Not that she's someone else needs to be saved, by the way. But all these things, temporary rush. But they're worse than that. People that profess the name of Christ, and some that actually know Him, gave away their crown that they could have had to cast at the feet of Jesus. Sacrifice their crown so they could have their high right here. Sacrifice their reputation so they could have their high right here. And all those things, and God has commended them to His person, commended them to the Word, that He can build them up and build you up. And he wants to build you up for a purpose. See, the last point is the wealth of commendation. I don't know if I said it already. But He wants to give you an inheritance. He wants to build you up to give you an inheritance so that when you do stand before Him, you won't just have a crown, but you have crowns to cast at His feet. Yeah, I can think of a different time when I was a kid. And I can know someone, and I can even remember as an adult, you know, sometimes my mother's Mother's Day would come around, and there's so many times that I thought I'd like to send my mother a gift, but because of maybe how I was selfish, and it's just like I could see flashes of things I did selfishly, and I actually had nothing to give, even though I wanted to. And I thought, here I am, wanting to be a blessing, I was living for me all the year, and the Mother's Day, and sometimes the Father's Day approaches, shows up, and all of a sudden the day got there, like it seemed out of nowhere, and I have nothing to where I can just be a blessing with, you know. Sometimes it's just normal life in poverty, but sometimes, many times I can look back and I can say, you know what, I could have prepared for this. I could have put back $5 here, $5 there. I could have put back something here. I could have prepared for that day to be a blessing. But you know, and that's the way many people are going to meet God. Unprepared. I don't know how it's going to be, but there'll be no crown to cast. Because the Bible said, beware of the sin that steals your reward. But God wants you to have. He wants to build you up, and He wants to give you an inheritance out of all men that sanctified. And last thing, we go through this so. So there's a wealth to be had through Christ. Everything, all this warning, the reason Paul warned for 3 years, because he did not want anyone to lose their inheritance. And he did not want anyone not to have a life that's built up in the faith of Jesus Christ, which yields eternal blessing. He warned them for 3 years because he loved them and really wanted them to have the best
that life has to offer, which, by the way, is God and His way. But the last thing He does, He gives a departing examination. And here's, He looks at me, He points himself to himself, He said, I've coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. He said, I tried to live by example so that you know that really, Christ is everything. He said, I wasn't coveting anybody's gold, their silver, their apparel. And he says, verse 34, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities. And to them that were with me. He said, hey, I was laboring for me. When I had necessities, I didn't come ask you for stuff. Hey, I just labored. I did whatever it took to labor and to take care of my own necessity. Heard a story, I don't know if it's true, about a pastor that he said he needed a church was struggling, he needed to go to work, and he asked the church to take him an offering to give him $1,000 so he could buy a suit. I don't know if it's true or not, but I thought, man, that's not right. I mean, if I need this suit, no wonder I'd ask God for it. Or I'd go work for it and do something, you know. Whatever I need to do. Most of y'all ever know about my needs is after God already taken care of them, you know. Like I told you about the time I had the store, had the $13 in the bank, that's after God met the need, amen. Because I'm not looking for things from you. I'm looking for you to give everything to God and let God bless you. And he said in verse 35, he said again, he said, you live with me. He said, I've showed you all things. How the soul laboring you ought to support the weak. He said, This is haven't you seen from me? This is what the church is about. He said, for the love of the church, would you please not covet silver? Would you please not covet gold? Would you please not covet apparel or clothing? He said, would you please support the weak? And would you please remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He said, please remember those words. He said, examine me. This is what I... He said, is that not what I lived before you? Is that not what I lived... Is that not what I lived? And verse 36, when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And he said, and the Bible said, they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. But verse 38, he said, sorry most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. In verse 30, it almost like the Word of God understands their situation. It almost seemed to understand that Paul had these fears because he realized that he loved him possibly a little bit more than God. Because of all the things that he said they were sorry most of all that he was gone. That he wasn't going to be with them. Wasn't sorry most of all that some of their very own church family were going to get snatched by grievous wolves. They weren't sorry most of all that somebody was from them that they loved and cared for that was going to be one of the ones that would actually speak perverse things and turn people away. They weren't sorry most of all for that. But they were sorry that this person they had, that he was going to be gone. And so Paul calls for examination and for himself, you know. And I hope my goal is to live these things before you. And I try to do that. I try to trust to do that. And I hope my life is an example of what Christianity is supposed to be. I'm sure trying to be. This is what it's supposed to be. And again, I don't look for any commendation. But as I live with here before you, I think my life at this point, I'm not coveting silver or gold or apparel. My wife can testify to the apparel. I got shirts in my closet 7 years I still wear, and she wish I'd throw them away. But, hey, my favorite shirt is this one. I bought it at Walmart, got it on clearance, I think for $5 one time. I think I've had it at least since we've been on this side of this town. I think I've had this for 7 years. Well, I still like it. Tie matches it perfectly. Thrift store. Amen. Looks good. I mean, I don't care if you like it, looks good to me. So I'm not covering any apparel. I've tried to by example support the weak. I've tried not to crucify the weak. I've tried to support the weak. I'm trying to help you I'm trying to be a giver. It's more blessed to give than to receive.
So pray for me as an elder, since this is speaking to the elder of the church, first of all, that I will pass God's examination. That I would really take heed to myself properly. And I would take heed to you properly. And that I would feed you properly. That's my goal. Because I recognize that there are very precious souls in this room tonight. Because you aren't bought with cheap things that lose value like silver or gold. You're bought with blood. So you're valuable. You're valuable. But beware. There'll be some that come in, and this is something happened to every church. I'm not going anywhere, but I'm saying even coming now. Grievous wolves that don't care about you spiritually. Don't care about you living the great commandment. Because they don't care about you having eternal blessings. They don't care about you being commended to God or built up and receiving an inheritance beyond this life. And there'll be some from within also that will be speaking perverse things until I turn you aside from the truth. I know as I was a youth pastor, so many times I would see God dealing with young people. And by that time, some other young person speaks something to them to distract them from the truth. You can see the conviction on them, and then they say something, try to get their mind off. I've seen it happen in revival meetings, and then I'll preach different meetings in the States, and the adults will do it too. Say something they think is funny, you know, right, but at that time, you know, or whatever, you know. And sometimes sometimes it's just innocent and don't know any better, but suddenly later you find out that particular person doing those things is someone that's headed away from the truth themselves. But you know what? You know why Paul warned him? Because it didn't have to be. Because it didn't have to be. And the reason, and to top it off, he commended them to God and to the Word, the powerful things that can keep it from being. Amen. And that's what we want. And so let's pursue God with all our heart, all our soul, mind, and strength. And let's value each other's blood-bought people. Even the ones that aren't followers of Christ yet, recognize they were bought with the blood. Let us pray that they receive the blood. Pray that they'll repent and trust Christ. And so they can have an inheritance. So they can actually be built up on something other than themselves or a religious experience. Because, again, there's so much God has for them. But thank God for His Word. I thank God. May God help us all. You really see tonight that this is all for the love of the church, which is you, by the way. Not for buildings, not for stuff. God didn't give His life for a church building or a steeple. He gave His life for the people. Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. And I just pray that through the Word of God, you'll bless these precious souls. I ask you to bless me, Father. Help me to take heed to myself more than I ever have been. Lord, I just pray tonight that you'll use the Word of God that's been preached. And Father, as you discern the thoughts and the intents of the hearts of the people in this room right now, will you give them the faith to accept the truth that you reveal to them, and give them the faith to repent if needed be, or give them the faith to press on, whatever the case may be. Thank you for Jesus Christ. It gives us a tremendous, wonderful opportunity to talk to you in prayer. Take a moment and pray and meet the Lord and do what He's asked you.